Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Germantown Presbyterian Church. Welcome, one and all, to this service of worship. Welcome, for those of you who are here in our sanctuary. Welcome if you're joining us online. We are delighted that everyone could be part of this worship service today. We know that several people are still filtering in from our Missions Fest that we had in Warren Hall, our Send Me Sunday, which was a great success. Thank you to everyone who helped prepare for that and who helped plan for that. We'll have folks kind of filtering in because we had a big crowd in Warren Hall looking at all of the different mission partners that we work with locally as well as abroad. And so if you weren't able to make it to the Missions Fest, you can certainly pick up one of these brochures that says Send Me Sunday on the front. And it lists all of the different groups that we work with and support around the greater Memphis area, plus our Mexico and our Ghana missions as well. If you ever wonder, you know, where might God be calling me into ministry and service, then one of these might be your call. So please do pick up one of these brochures and see who we are as we support Christ's work in the greater Memphis area. Also, a few other announcements as we begin to worship this morning. Let me say a word of gratitude for the new organ that was installed this week. It's been a long time coming, and we're grateful for it. And so Alex is not visible at the moment, but you already heard some of the new sounds. Maybe he is visible right there. We're so excited. We're grateful for the generosity that made this new organ console possible. And it has now another level of keys on it. You can just three levels for Alex's hands to bounce up and down. But it's a wonderful new sound. We're grateful for it. And we know that we'll have some concerts and some opportunities in the near future for us to hear about it and to hear how great that sound is. A few more announcements for us. One is you'll see in your bulletin a green insert. And that is for you to write down the names of anyone who might be good to serve as a deacon or an elder in GPC. Please put this in the offering plate. Please consider it. Someone who might serve as an officer next year, we'd be grateful for your input on that. And the nominating committee will meet soon to start that process. GPC Connect is our Parents Night Out program, and that's next Friday for kids, infants through fifth grade, from 6 to 9 p.m., and so Friday the 21st, if you haven't signed up for that, then please do, and please enjoy a time of fellowship for you parents together or with other groups. We know some groups go out to eat together and do fun things together, so don't forget about GPC Connect next Friday. Also, you'll see in various places, you'll see an insert about the 5th annual GPC Women's Retreat. That's on November the 5th. It's all day here at church from 9 to 3, and so please do sign up for that. You can talk to Susie if you have questions about that. You can talk to some others as well on the planning team, and that we're looking forward to another great women's retreat on November the 5th. And then lastly, you'll see some new faces among us, perhaps, if you park especially in the lower parking lot by the chapel, but we have a very small Korean congregation that is worshiping in the chapel from 9 to 10 on a Sunday morning. It's a congregation of about 12, and they were 6 strong this morning. So it's not a burden for parking. It's not a burden for anything other than we're grateful for their presence among us, that we can provide that for that very small Korean church. And so if you see some folks, introduce yourself, and they're going to come and worship with us some, and I'm sure they'll invite us to worship with them some, and that's going to happen every Sunday. They'll be in the chapel from about 8:45 until about 10:15. Friends, I think those are all of our announcements. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God.
The Lord our God is worthy of worship. It is right to sing praise to God's name. Please stand as you are able for our call to worship. I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and
God is merciful and just. When we confess our sin, God brings grace and renewal to our lives. Together, let us pray. God of grace, have mercy upon us. We look for help often in sources other than you. Instead of looking to our Maker, we try to make our own way. We are distracted by so much triviality, and we rarely stop to listen for you. Please forgive our divided hearts, and we pray for your mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God's love flows to us in the person of Jesus Christ because of his obedience on the cross. We have atonement for our sins. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. As our children come forward, I invite you to greet others around you with the peace of Christ.
Jacob? Yay! Here come all the kids, all the kids. Oh, this will be fun. Hi, kids. How are you? Are you good? We're going to talk about prayer. Y'all like to pray? Yeah, we're gonna. Good morning. Good morning. You're not? No? I want you to do something with me. Okay, I want you to do something with me. Are you ready? So I want you to follow me. We're going to clap our hands together, but you have to clap when I clap. Okay, you ready? Here we go. That's kind of hard, right? What do you have to do? What did you have to do to be able to clap right when I clapped? You had to wait, right? You had to be patient, and did you have to listen? Yeah, and did you have to watch? You had to watch, and you had to wait, and you had to listen, right? You had to do all those things to get it just right. It wasn't easy, but you kept trying. You kept coming back again and again. And we're going to hear a scripture passage in a minute where Jesus is trying to teach his disciples about coming back again and again and trying again. We're going to hear a story about a woman that kept going back again and again to get what she needed. And Jesus wants us to come to God in prayer again and again and again. Because God made us people to need God. And so God wants to hear our prayers and wants us to come to him in prayer again and again and again. And so I've made for you a little five-finger prayer, one that you can put on your fingers and you can pray to God. And you can actually do this, you can do like one of these prayers five times. I mean, like you can pray five times a day. That would be coming to God again and again and again. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples to do, to not give up in our prayer, but to keep coming back to God. So I want you to pray with me. I'm going to pray this prayer with y'all, but I want you to pray looking at me. I want you to watch and listen and to pray with me. And so we're going to do an open-eyed prayer because I want you to look at me and watch. So let us pray. So you repeat after me. Thank you, God, for each new day and each meal. Thank you, God, for family and friends. Thank you, God, for teachers and pastors and doctors. Give help, O God, to those in need, and help me too. Amen. Okay. All right, I have a color sheet for you, and I have the five-fingered prayer for you. Thank you, kids. You want one too? There you go. Thank you so much.
Anthem today, I want to dedicate to Jenny Fulmer. This is her favorite anthem. We haven't sung it in a number of years, but I wanted you to know that, Jenny, we're singing this for you today, as well as for the glory of God.
Let us pray. Lord, as we come into your presence through these readings we will now hear, we pray for your Holy Spirit to show us special insight about prayer. Lord, speak to us collectively as a church. Speak to us individually as your followers. Give each of us and give all of us wisdom from your divine mind this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson is this great dramatic story from Genesis 32. One of the most dramatic in all of Scripture, the story of Jacob wrestling all night long with God. Genesis 32, verse 23. Jacob took his family and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said to him, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." And the sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. And then in the New Testament, we read from Luke 18, a parable that Jesus told about prayer. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who feared neither God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Amen. This is the word of the Lord. We are continuing in our sermon series these first four Sundays in October on prayer. And yet we are looking at prayer from the backside, as Ellsworth Callis would say it. Ellsworth Callis, as many of you know, was a great Methodist preacher and writer who just died a couple of years ago. He had lots of ties to this area. And he wrote several books that were about faith, they're about God, about Scripture. But all the titles of the book had "from the backside" on them. Parables from the backside, faith from the backside, gospels from the backside. And what he meant by that was trying to look at faith or look at Scripture, look at stories from an angle that's different, an angle that teaches you something new, maybe something you've never thought of about that topic. So we're looking at prayer from the backside, and what we mean by that is these 4 weeks we're looking at prayers that don't work, so that we can engage in prayers that do. Four prayers that don't work, and today's prayer that doesn't work is the prayer that quits. A few chapters before this one in Luke, Jesus teaches his followers how to pray in the first place. And we've been emphasizing this throughout this series, that disciples need guidance for something that doesn't come naturally. And prayer doesn't come naturally for any of us. Sometimes in the church, when we talk about any topic, and especially something like prayer, sometimes we make assumptions. I make assumptions, we all make assumptions, and when we talk about prayer, sometimes we assume that it comes quickly, that it becomes really easy to people. And the truth is that it doesn't. It doesn't. We talk about prayer sometimes as if there were no obstacles to prayer in our hearts or in our minds, when sometimes there are. Sometimes we talk about prayer as if it is as easy as breathing, and it's not. We aspire to get there, and we can get there over time, but it's not easy at first, which is why we need to not quit in our prayers, to persist. Richard Foster has written really the best book about prayer in the last 50 years, which is entitled Prayer, and the subtitle is Finding the Heart's True Home. So what we are invited to do through prayer is to find our true home in God. And it always comes through prayer. Each of the 21 chapters of this book examines a different type of prayer. There are prayers of supplication, where we pray on behalf of ourselves. There's intercessory prayer, where we pray on behalf of others. There are the prayer of tears, when all you can do is weep when you pray. There are prayers of adoration, when you feel like praising God for who He is. There are all these different kinds of prayer in Scripture, and that God invites all of us, no matter what season of life we are in, to pray. Because we can bring anything before God, any circumstance, any time before God in prayer. But it's not always easy. Foster writes that the accomplished pianist who today spryly runs her hands up and down the keyboard once had to agonize over the simplest scales. So no matter where you are in your prayer life, you can take heart, because maybe you've got lots of years of practice and you can run all up and down the keyboard of prayer with all of these prayers because you've practiced them for a long time. But probably for most of us, that's not the case. And we have to focus on the simple scales. So we're focusing on these prayers this month, focusing on prayers that don't work so that we can pray and engage with God in ways that do. So this parable is really fascinating. The opening verse is very clear on why Jesus tells this parable in the first place. He says, you must pray always. In other words, in every circumstance. And here Jesus is saying something that just reverberates. It echoes throughout the whole New Testament. You hear Paul say in so many places, pray without ceasing. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer, says Colossians. So we have this unambiguous instruction always to pray, 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 no matter what your circumstances are. I mean, think about it. Was there any circumstance in Paul's life that he could not bring before God? No. Is there any situation in your life that is beyond God's ability to help and to heal? Of course not. Is there any mistake? Is there any situation that you have worked yourself into that seems intractable? Any situation, any mess you've made that is beyond God's ability to redeem and save? Of course not. So you can pray. Pray, 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 pray. And the second reason he gives at the beginning of this parable is, don't give up. Our translation reads, do not lose heart. And I like the King James Version, which is a little closer to the Greek here. It says, pray always and don't faint. Don't faint. Sometimes a person will faint. I do. Sometimes I get lightheaded if I stand up a little too quickly. Sometimes people faint from low blood pressure. But most of the time when people faint, it's because they're exhausted through sleeplessness. There's a weariness about them, and it sort of leads to weakness and surrender. You get exhausted from circumstances that you're in. You want to give up and you grow weak. Jesus says in your prayer life, in your life with God, pray always and don't surrender, even when you're exhausted. The widow in this parable is our role model. Her adversary is this unjust judge who Jesus says neither feared God nor had respect for the people. And this judge probably represents a non-Jewish judge who would oversee cases in the civil courts. Ordinary Jewish disputes were usually handled in-house. They were taken to Jewish leaders and Jewish elders, and they would handle those situations. But something involving money or property, especially when a non-Jewish person was involved, would then go before a Roman court. And usually these courts had three judges, one chosen by the plaintiff, one chosen by the defendant, and one chosen and appointed, a magistrate appointed by the Roman authorities. So this system then was rife with corruption. Usually whoever had more influence and more money could then buy a verdict in their favor. There's a Roman story, a Roman proverb that talks about these civil magistrates, and it says that he would pervert justice for a dish of meat. Contrast that judge with the widow, who is definitely on the other end of the social capital, the social influence spectrum. So for Jesus, and you read this in much of the Bible, a widow represents the most vulnerable person in their society. A widow who had no other family, no children, no other family, would be taken advantage of with no repercussions. They could be stolen from with no recourse. So she has no hope of getting a favorable verdict here. Justice is so fleeting for her, except for one quiver, one arrow in her quiver. What is her only hope? Persistence, dogged determination, just this endurance of going again and again and again before the judge. She pleads to the judge for justice, denied. She goes again, denied, 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 until the judge finally says to himself, I don't care about anybody else. I only care about me. I don't care about God or anyone else, but this widow keeps pestering me. She won't stop until I give her a favorable verdict, and I will do so that she just stops wearing me out, is what it says. Now, what's interesting, again, the Greek, that verb there for wearing me out literally means to beat me black and blue. So to wear somebody out is to beat him up, and her persistence is like a beating for this judge, and she wears him out, and so he gives up and grants her justice. So this is one of those parables where it doesn't work to make just a one-on-one allegorical interpretation, because yes, Jesus tells us to be like the widow, but God is not like that unjust judge in the parable. Quite the opposite. God is not someone that we have to pester and exhaust in order to find an answer to prayer. And Jesus says this in this parable. He's very quick to draw this distinction because you have this unjust judge, but then he says, but will not God? God, the one who loves you, the God who has a heart of compassion for you, how much more quickly will God give you justice? Will God answer your prayer? God is the opposite of that unjust judge. God doesn't want to deny, 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 deny. Yes, there may be, for some of us, a slowness to understanding God's will, and we don't know when God will answer that prayer, but God's heart is always full of compassion, always eager to listen and to act upon the prayers that don't quit. God does respond. God responds, this widow, she receives justice in the verdict, and you will receive the verdict of an answered prayer when you pray and pray and pray and pray. In every circumstance, do not lose heart, do not quit. Pray like Jacob did on that night. This is one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. Jacob wrestled, struggled all night long, and would not let go of God. It's one of the most dramatic scenes in the Old Testament. It really is so powerful. Jacob will see his brother Esau the next morning for the first time in 20 years. Do you remember what Esau said the last time that he saw Jacob decades before this? The next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. Because Jacob had stolen Esau's birthright. And Jacob had grown wealthy, many flocks, many assets, a whole family, sheep and goats. And so there is Jacob, sending all of those on the other side of the river. And he crosses over this river and he is alone with God. No flocks, no assets, no family, alone in his fear. You know, at some point in your life, you are going to be alone with God and you're going to have to wrestle. You're going to struggle with God. Without your family, without any assets, without technology, without anything else you normally rely on every day, it's just going to be you and God wrestling. All night, in the dark night for his soul, Jacob wrestled with a man or God, or maybe it's an angel, or his own conscience, his own past, his sins, his fear, his faults, or all of these. This passage is a little mysterious on exactly who it is that God, that Jacob wrestles with. But he wrestles all night long. He's exhausted the next day. I shared with some of you before how I was on the wrestling team in high school, and a wrestling match consists of 3 2-minute periods. And at the end of that, if you make it all the way through 6 minutes, which I rarely did before getting pinned, it is exhausting. It is exhausting, but you keep fighting and you keep going. Jacob kept wrestling all night long. And whenever you spend a night wrestling with God, it will be, of course, with God and your own mind and your own sins, your past, your failures, fears, all of your guilt. With all of those, when you wrestle, you will be exhausted. And then you'll see dawn start to break, just as Jacob did. God engages Jacob here in this wrestling match. God doesn't overwhelm him. He lets Jacob persist. He lets Jacob endure. And God wants you and me to persist and to keep on going in our faith, especially when it feels like we are wrestling. God will not crush you for questioning and wrestling and wanting to know His will and why things happen the way they do. God wants you to wrestle with Him through the darkest night of your soul, and sometimes you will have to. Persist. Keep going. Do not quit through that dark night, because dawn is coming. Dawn is coming, and the sun starts to rise on Jacob and his wrestling adversary, and Jacob won't let go. He's willing to keep going, but he wants a blessing. He wants to know that his night of wrestling is not in vain. He wants to know that his struggling is not in vain, and so God does just that. God blesses him. God blesses Jacob and changes his whole life and his whole future. Of course, there is some pain involved. God gives him a limp. And that's the hard part of being a faithful Christian and wrestling with God and struggling with God, is that sometimes there are some wounds that get exposed. And for Jacob, those wounds are also part of the blessing. Jacob still has to face, as he goes forward, lots of fears. He'll meet Esau again the next day. He still has a lot of hard life to live ahead of him. We know that. And so he will limp into the future, but he does so with God's blessing over his whole life. And so for him, it is worth it. It is worth it. And it's worth it for you to persist and to not grow faint and to keep on going and to wrestle with God. And even if you get wounds that are exposed and that make you hurt or limp, it is worth it to keep on going, because Jesus tells us to pray always and to not grow faint. Be persistent, wrestle, and God will respond, and God will bless you. Amen.
My friends, we have already been richly blessed this morning, especially by hearing God's word read and proclaimed to us. And so I invite you all to stand now and let us with one strong voice affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning, we've been having a conversation with God. And this is now our blessed opportunity to talk back as we've just heard what God's got to say. So would you join me in a prayer? Oh, good morning, our friend. Thank you for another day on this side of heaven that we get to spend together with you. This morning, we very much hear your voice. We hear you calling us. We hear you opening a way for us to connect with you in deeper and more beautiful moments. And it's true. A lot of times, our connection with you, our conversations with you, our prayers, we approach those a lot like working out. Like it's something we ought to do, we need to do to be healthy, but most of the time, something that we don't want to do. And yet, you keep talking. And you lead us to a deeper truth this morning, that it's better than that. It's like coming home for the first time, maybe. And so, Lord, we rest at home together with you right now. And the home of our lives and our souls is not tidy. There's a lot going on. Some of us are returning from travel and are busy getting back in the swing of things. Our students are on their way home from a phenomenal retreat. And we thank you so much for bringing them to this incredible experience safely. And we beg of you to do the same as they return home. We think, Lord, about your creation. We, your creatures, your friends, the apple of your eye, how there are so many parts of this world that you've gifted us that are suffering, whether it's under the chaos of conflict or maybe in the quietness of our souls with loneliness or illness or just an inability to see a good outcome. Lord, we rest with you there. Lord, we give to you this faith community and our journeys with you. We ask not only that you would give us the strength and the courage to pray without ceasing, but the eyes to see that it's not about what we get out of you, but this life is so much better than that because of what you constantly do, moving in and through us, healing us, breathing joy into our lives. And so, Lord, we give to you all of these prayers, the joys, the concerns, the indifference of our souls. We give to you the parts of our relationship with you that feel stale and stagnant. And we beg of you to rush in there and do a mighty work. Lord, we give to you all of these prayers and the multitude that we don't have the words for yet, but we know that you know. And we lift them to you with the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In acknowledgement of the fact that whether we pick up the ball or drop it in life, God is always faithful. And in gratitude for the great provision that he has poured out upon us, we give to God a portion of the bounty of his love through our tithes and our offerings. So I invite our ushers now to come forward and receive our gifts to God.
Turn to God in prayer. Gracious God, we offer to you these resources that we bring, knowing that you will take them and bless them and multiply them and use them to meet the world's needs. We bring to you our very lives, We pray, Almighty God, that you would bless our lives into service for you, that our resources and ourselves might participate in your life-giving work for the sake of your kingdom. May it be so, we pray through Christ our Lord, and together we say, Amen.
God is calling all of us. God is calling you to some place and some form of ministry. Listen for God's call. God is calling you in some way or another to go out and to love and serve the Lord your God and to love and serve your neighbor as yourself. Go and do likewise. And as you go, may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus today and always. Amen. Amen.